talk about the tide shifting fast. What just happened in Romania? 2 weeks after the far right's George Simion garnered a whopping 41% in the first round of presidential elections, a surge in turnout, instead carrying the pro-EU mayor of Bucharest, Nicoșor Dan, to victory. Now, it's a rocky road to victory. Dan wasn't even a candidate when the Constitutional Council annulled last November's first round of voting and barred pro-Russian TikTok star Calin Georgescu. This over foreign meddling and campaign finance records that claimed zero spending whatsoever. The call to do over the election drew criticism from the likes of J.D. Vance and Elon Musk in the U.S., but also from some European liberals who feel the issue should have been sorted at the ballot box, not in a courtroom. We'll ask how this result is going down, and more broadly, about a one-time Soviet bloc dictatorship, often dogged by corruption, that's felt the growing pains of EU membership. What next for Romania, a frontline state to the war in Ukraine? And how does the rest of Europe address the grievances of citizens in what is a fast-changing world? Today in the France 24 debate, we're asking, why did Romania's far right fall short? With us from Bucharest, she's vice president of Nicoșor Dan's Save Romania Union Party, Clotilde Armand, former mayor of Bucharest's first district. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
We'll be joined later from the Romanian capital by George Peperia, a member of the European Parliament from George Simion's Alliance for the Union of Romanians. But for now, from Newcastle, Romanian political scientist Vladimir Bortun, lecturer at Oxford University. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
And thanks as well to Victor Varem, fellow at the Joint European Disruption Initiative, which campaigns for
European Breakthrough Innovation Agency.
That's right. Thanks for being with us here in the France 24 debate, which, by the way, you can always listen, like, and subscribe to wherever podcasts are streamed. 53.6% of the vote, Nicoșor Dan, overcoming some long odds to win Romania's presidential election. There was a huge jump in turnout, 53% in the first round, 64% in the runoff. The mayor of Bucharest gaining nearly 4 million votes in a fortnight. Vedica Bael has more.
Here in the streets of the Romanian capital, hundreds gathered to celebrate a new president, the centrist pro-EU mayor of Bucharest, Nicoșor Dan. It comes off the back of a polarizing presidential election rerun that many saw as a geopolitical choice between East and West, with the West ultimately taking the crown.
I'm very proud that we were able to mobilize as supporters of Europe first and foremost, and able to focus more on European values. As a result, I am here, the people are here, and we still want to stay on this European path.
We are very relieved. We hope that everything will be fine. We want what is best for Romania and Europe.
Final electoral results showed Dan maintained an average of 54% over his rival, the ultra-nationalist George Simion, leader of the hard-right Alliance for the Unity of Romanians party, who had seemed on track to win the race after sweeping the first round earlier this month. A strong supporter of NATO and allyship to Ukraine, Dan claimed his victory by thanking voters for proving the power of Romanian society.
It's your victory, you know. It's the victory of thousands and thousands of people who campaigned over these last few days who believed that Romania could change in the right direction.
Simion, who opposes military aid to Ukraine, is sympathetic to Moscow and a critic of the European Union, initially questioned the vote's legitimacy, even going so far as to claim victory himself, but eventually he conceded defeat.
I would like to congratulate my opponent, Nicoșor Dan, on winning the elections. It was the will of the Romanian people.
The rerun came 5 months after the result of the original ballot, which was scrapped by Romania's constitutional court over allegations of Russian interference and social media exploitation in favour of the since-barred far-right frontrunner.
Clotilde Armand, what happened in 2 weeks?
Well, first of all, a huge mobilization. You could see on the images we had before that many young people Basically, people usually don't show up to vote, mobilized, and they came because they didn't want Romania to go back. Actually, it was this was the feeling, to go back to nationalism, communism. You know, the Ceausescu's regime was socialist, but as well, I mean, communist, but as well, very nationalistic, nationalist regime. And people wanted to stay on this European path. It was a vote for Europe. It was a vote as well to complete, to finish the revolution, the 1989 revolution. That was the feeling of the Romanians was that the revolution has been confiscated by the communists, by the this communist caste, their family members. And this time we have the first president who is not coming from those post-communist that were still communist families, if you want. So it is a huge victory for the Romanian people and for Europe.
Around to see how many of the Romanians abroad had voted for George Simion. What changed?
Well, I believe that the ones who voted for George Simion in the first round still voted for them in the second round, but some of the and George Simion had new voters as well, but the huge mobilization increased the number of voters by 2 million. All these 2 million went actually to Nicu Jordan, because these are the people who have the feeling that being in Europe is something normal, and suddenly they wake up and they realize that this normality is you know, maybe threatened. So this is, again, this huge mobilization, which happened very fast. It was 1 week, because the campaign only lasted for 1 week. And in the diaspora and in the big cities, actually, very much in the big cities, there was this mobilization of the young people, the students, and the whole population who wants to stay on this European path.
And you heard in that report, that little clip of George Simion, the far-right candidate, conceding defeat in the end. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it was too obvious. The problem is that we didn't know whether it was going to be a very tight result. You know, if it had been 49% and 51%, then he would not have admitted that it was a defeat. But given the fact that the difference was actually between 8% and close to 8%, it was too clear for him not to admit his victory. You have to understand as well that today we are very happy, we're celebrating, it is a huge victory for Europe, but at the same time, Romania has an economy which is based on debt. So about 1/3 of the government budget was actually financed by debt. So right now, the new president and the new government will inherit a very difficult situation, which will in the end be something in favor of this anti-European or pro-Russian movement. So we have to be very careful. George Simion has not said his last words.
Yeah, huge challenges ahead for the new president. It's a parliamentary democracy. His first job will be to pick a new government. The tensions are still there. The polarization is still there. Election day marred by tensions that at one point even turned diplomatic and drew in France, with the foreign ministry here in Paris issuing a denial after the under-investigation boss of social messaging site Telegram tweeted that the head of French intelligence had asked Pavel Durov to block the accounts of conservative voices, and that he didn't agree to it. He said, "I wouldn't do it if it was in Russia," he said over X, formerly Twitter. Victor Varem, your thoughts when you saw this story and the denial?
Well, coming from Durov, who was arrested, just take the story back. a few months ago by the French authorities. Of course, I mean, he sort of needs to have a small revenge, I would say, against the French government. So the reaction of Durov is normal, I think, after this episode, absolutely. Nevertheless, the reaction of France was, in my opinion, also normal, because France is the country with the largest arsenal against disinformation.
We can go to Bucharest now and join another panelist, George, as promised, Pipăria, member of the European Parliament from the George Simion's Alliance for the Union of Romanians, who finished second in that runoff. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.
Good evening, and thank you for your invitation. I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah, the fact that it was, in the end, as we just heard Victor say, Nicușor Dan, who was a candidate who wasn't from the traditional parties that had been in power since 1989, that made it harder in this runoff?
First of all, I see your title here. You are speaking about Romanian surprise. There is no surprise, because Mr. Nicușor Dan was sustained and supported by practically all the establishment, not practically, all the establishment, and including the universities, intellectuals, social media influencers, all of them supported Mr. Nicușor Dan. So it's no surprise that he won. I think you should be probably surprised if George Simion won.
Even but nevertheless, the idea is that he got 41% in moment, the first round.
Just a second. Nevertheless, in this moment, the elections are very clear. There is a difference of something like 900,000 votes. This means a very big legitimacy for the new president of Romania. Mr. Nicușor Dan always says about him that he is independent, but he's not. Anyway, it's a good success for him to win this election and also to win the election of 2020 for the mayor of Bucharest. But nevertheless, he is a man of the system, and he will probably have a very big and tough task to reunite Romania in this moment, because the Romanian people in this moment are separated, very cruel separated between two kind of people which was for Mr. Nicușor Dan and hate the other people, and is the same with the opposite. Maybe this will be the heaviest task of Mr. Nicușor Dan, to mediate between two very, very big fails of, portions of Romanian population. And second, there is a turmoil in the establishment parties, the old parties. And here I must say that, of course, Mr. Nicușor Dan is not a member of these old parties. The old parties in this moment has to face the fate of the old French parties, the Socialist and Les Républicains, which in 2017, when Mr. Macron won his first mandate, gone to irrelevance. They became irrelevant, and they are also in this moment irrelevant. And I'm speaking about our old political parties. I'm speaking about the so-called liberals and the so-called social democrats. They will be irrelevant in a matter of months. And what will be relevant is the party of which sustained Mr. Nicușor Dan. I'm speaking about the USR, meaning the Union for the Salvation of Romania, and on the other side, the party of Mr. George Simion, which is called the Alliance for the Unity of Romanians. This will be the major political powers in Romania.
All right, so redrawing of the political landscape. Vladimir Borton is with us from Newcastle. Vladimir, you penned an op-ed piece before the second round that was in the New York Times. It kind of read like a... almost like an obituary for the politics of old. Do you agree with what you just heard? The end of the old Big Ten parties in Romania?
No, absolutely not. I think what we will see is more of the same. Unfortunately, I would disagree with the description from the beginning of your of the debate of Dan as a centrist candidate. He's pretty right-wing on both economic and cultural issues. He said it himself. We can quote him saying that he's right-wing because, according to him, the right prioritizes work and the left prioritizes laziness. We can discuss another time about his other misunderstanding of political theory, but he's a man of the right. He just happens to be less so on the right than Simeon and Simeon's party, Aur. However, both rights, this neoliberal right on the one hand and this nationalist right, are united in a very strong consensus in favor of business, in favor of low taxation, in favor of low regulation, and none of them has anything to offer to the actual precarious layers in society. I just remind you that 45% of the population lives in poverty or on the verge of poverty, and none of these two competing variations of the right in Romania has anything to offer to these layers in society.
So what was the vote all about then, the second round of the election there?
I think, first of all, it was less so a vote for Dan, who unfortunately lacks any vision to tackle the socio-economic issues that I just mentioned and that are driving the success of the far right across the globe, not just in Romania. My colleagues in political science for the past decade have systematically shown that economic insecurity is the main driver for the electoral success of the far right. I think it was rather a vote against Simeon, against the acceleration of fascization of Romanian society. And Simeon performed very, very badly between the two rounds of these elections. On the one hand, he had real outbursts of hubris. It was almost like he was drunk on power before even putting his hands on power. And secondly, he broke his one flagship policy aimed at the more popular layers in society, which was to build 1 million affordable homes. And he admitted himself in an interview that it was just marketing. This pledge was pure marketing, which is pretty spectacular to break your electoral promise even before the elections are over.
Clotilde Armand, your thoughts on what you just heard there from Vladimir Borden, that in fact neither of the candidates in the runoff have solutions when it comes to Romania's economic doldrums.
Well, this will be the main challenge right now. One of the speakers right now mentioned the fact that the president will have to make sure that society becomes united again, and this is indeed an issue because it was deeply divided. But yes, there will be this huge huge economic issue to face right now. And it is true that both candidates are on the right, but the far right mentioned nationalizations. They mentioned to take over the houses of the people who have left Romania. So there is this this socialist part, which is about, you know, making sure that the industry comes back to Romania, because after the fall of communism, all those bad international companies, European companies, but not only, they took over the land, they took over all the industry that was built by the Romanians, and, you know, we need to take it back. There is the example of this oil and gas company, which is huge. Because, you know, Romania has gas, but the company was sold to an Occidental company, and you know, it's producing each year the profit that it was, which is the equivalent of the amount for which the company was sold to this foreign company. So the far right solution was actually extremely worrying for the investors. Nikush Ordan, on his side, said that he wanted to give reassurance to have stability, that there will be. He wants to have more investments, and he wants to give an image of confidence. But yes, he mentioned that he needs to stop the waste of money. There is this corruption that everybody knows about. So his solution is more on good management, stopping corruption, stopping all these agencies that are, that have been created in order to employ the people who are connected to the old parties. So it's about, yes, good management, financial soundness, and foreign investments. But that will not be enough. This is clear.
Not be enough. I just want to take a time to talk about how this is being viewed in the rest of Europe. Romania's result triggered sighs of relief in Brussels, also at not just at the European Union, but also at NATO. The alliance, which is building a major air base near the Black Sea port of Constanța, Romania very much a frontline state in the containment of Russia. It shares a border with Ukraine. And the question, Victor Varenne, when you see, again, there's the map of the eastern flank of NATO. Is that still on the cards? Right now there are French troops, I know, in Romania. Is that still on the cards, counting on Romania when it comes to what happens next in Ukraine, which is very uncertain?
Yes, absolutely. I think Nikush Ordan made clear that he was in favor of supporting Ukraine to defeat Russia, or at least to contain Russia as much as possible. So nothing has changed on this side.
Giorgi Piperia, what do you see as Romania's policy going forward? We don't know what's going to happen between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. When it comes to Ukraine, they had that phone call earlier in the day. What do you see happening? What do you see as Romania's role?
First of all, we see as being crucial, absolutely crucial, for Romania to stay as an European member state and to criticize and to contribute to the rebuild of the European Union. Meaning to somehow correct what happened to the European bureaucracy, and especially about corruption. And also, we hope to have to play a very crucial role in the interior of NATO. And we are trying to intermediate between the European Union powers, like, for example, Germany and France, and on the other side, the United States, because, as you already said, and all of us are seeing, there is a big division in this moment between this traditional alliance. I'm speaking about the United States, Trump administration, on one side, and on the other hand, the European Union member states. And Romania should be able to intermediate in order to rebuild this alliance, because, you know, Europe without the United States is practically bankrupt, and it's the same, the opposite. After all, the Western values, Euro-Atlantic values, are the good one, and are the dreams of Romanian for not for 35 years after the revolution, but also for at least 75 years after the war.
So that means respect of existing borders, respect of the existing borders of Ukraine, respect.
Of course, this is of crucial importance, because, you know, if Romania, it doesn't matter who in Romania could speak about this, if Romania will raise pretension about borders in, I don't know, in Ukraine, we could face the same thing, the same kind of situation with Hungary, and we don't know that, we don't want this. So there is no question about somehow challenge the borders.
What about when it comes to Moldova, which is a neighbor, a former Soviet republic, which wants to join the EU? but it's kind of like a Matryoshka doll. It also includes the breakaway region of Transnistria, where Russian troops have remained since 1992.
This is a matter which is more complicated than you see. You could say, first of all, we are sustaining, we are supportive of Moldavia in order to have Moldavia as a member of the European Union. But, you know, if the people from the both rivers, sides, I'm sorry, of the River Prut, which is the border with of Romania and Moldova, decided to be reunited somewhere in the future, we should allow that, because this happened also to the Germany, to the two sides of Germany. But for the moment, the important for us in Romania and for us as a politician is to have Moldova a member of the European Union.
Vladimir Borton, your thoughts on this and the fact that, there are people, ethnic Romanians in Hungary, ethnic Hungarians in Romania, and this whole question of Moldova going forward, it seems to have come up a lot in the conversation on the campaign trail.
Yes, definitely. Simeon, particularly him as a former activist in the pro-unionist movement, the movement in favor of Romania and Moldova uniting again with each other, he has a history of anti-Hungarian statements and activism. He was involved in violence that took place about a decade ago in one of the Hungarian communities. So this definitely made him lose a big chunk, almost 90%, I think, of the vote in some of the predominantly Hungarian counties. But to also touch upon the question of the war in Ukraine, there is an important distinction to be made. Most people in Romania, at least according to one of the recent polls, blame Russia as the main aggressor. 64%, I think, of Romanians blame Russia for the war. But at the same time, 61% of Romanians are worried that this war might escalate and spread throughout the region and beyond, engulf the entire Europe. And they tend to, some of these people tend to find the messages of neutrality of politicians like Simeon or Georgescu quite appealing, which is why mainstream politicians are losing ground when they are 100% on the side of militarization, increasing the military budget, talking about going to war with Russia in more or less explicit statements. This kind of belligerent rhetoric doesn't help preventing the rise of the far right. And to touch upon one last dimension to this geopolitical situation, there is an economic dimension to it as well. Romania has the highest share of the workforce in the whole European Union that works in agriculture, around 20%. And the lift of the tariffs for Ukrainian agricultural products to come into the European Union has affected the neighboring countries, has affected the local producers. Hungary, Poland, and Slovakia, you might know this, they have imposed bans on Ukrainian agricultural products. And AUR, Mr. Piperia's party, but also Simeon and Georgescu talked about imposing a similar ban on Ukrainian agricultural products coming into Romania, because these kind of small farmers represent one of the core bases of the electorate of the Romanian far right.
All right. Well, unfortunately, this is an abridged version of the show that's kind of frustrating because there were so many more points to talk about. I want to thank you, Vladimir Borton, for being with us from Newcastle, Clotilde Armand and George Piperia from Bucharest, Victor Varem. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.